What we're going to do today is focus on how to write an effective query letter that will catch an editor's eye and, with any luck, sell an article idea for you. So, for starters, what I'd like to do is just give a basic outline. There are different approaches. You know, query letter formats are kind of like, word processing software. Everybody has their favorite approach. You know, and it's really a very subjective sort of thing. So this is the way that I think is a basic, good, effective outline. But if you want to modify it for yourself, you may come across better ideas someplace else, that's perfectly okay. But this will give you someplace to start from, at least. And then when we get done with that, I'm going to ask you to take either the idea that you came up with yesterday for an article or another idea, if you thought of something better since then, and actually write a query letter for yourself. And then we'll go around. Hopefully we'll have time to critique each other's query letters a little bit, okay? So let's start in on that. To start the tape rolling now. All right. Okay, the purpose, a query letter has one purpose and one purpose only, to sell an editor on the idea that you have come up with for an article, to talk the editor into giving you the assignment to write the article that you would like to write. Consequently, what you're doing in a query letter is a sell job. Okay? You have to be a salesperson for your article idea. If you don't show enthusiasm and excitement and interest in your article idea, then certainly an editor is not about to get interested or excited about the idea either. So there's nothing worse than a dull query letter. You can't get any place just, being kind of low key. I've met writers who will use humor in a query letter to get an editor's attention. On the other hand, there are editors who, if they sense that an editor is trying to be cute in the query letter, they'll throw it in the wastebasket and not even finish reading it. So you take your chances when you do that. But my point is just that a query letter requires creativity just as much as writing the article itself does. In fact, you've done a fair amount of thinking and being creative, as we saw yesterday, before you ever sit down to write the query letter itself. So you've already done a fair amount of creative work before you sit down to write your query letter. Okay. Once you've gotten to the point though where you are ready to write a letter to an editor proposing an article, this is a basic good outline that you can follow in doing that. All right. We're not just talking about a chatty little note along the lines of a letter that you would write to a friend or somebody like that. Okay. This is a specific literary genre, if you will, and you have to follow the rules. Otherwise, editors are going to think you're not being professional, and they're not going to be interested in what you have to say. All right. A query letter has in common with any business letter that you're going to have either letterhead printed up with your name on it and so forth, so it looks professional, that's the ideal, or you're going to type in the upper right-hand corner over here, all anybody who took typing, knows how to write a business letter. You put the, your inside of your return, your name and address up here. This is you. If this is a piece of paper here, it looks like this, okay? And then over here, you're going to put the date, okay? And then the name and address of the editor that you're writing to, okay? Do not, under any circumstances, misspell the editor's name. Be absolutely positive that you've got the correct spelling. Okay? Editors don't like it when you misspell their names. Like any of us. We don't like it if somebody misspells our name. Okay? Where are you going to get the editor's name from? Well, two possibilities. Either you have a copy of the magazine that you want to write for, and you looked in the magazine and located the editor's name, so you know you have it correctly. Just a little aside here. Let's say you open up in the there's always a little section in the magazine that has the name and address of the publication and so on and so forth. Be sure that often they'll have two addresses. One is a subscription address, and you don't want to write to that address, because that's where, you know, that's probably in a totally different city, somewhere in Colorado, whereas the editor's office is in New York or Chicago or something. Subscription information all goes to the place where they take care of information like that for that magazine, and it's not really related to the editorial process at all. So make sure you get the address of the editorial offices of the magazine, not the subscription address. Okay, and you've got the correct spelling. And if you haven't gotten the name out of the publication, a copy of the magazine itself, virtually all magazines and newspapers, mostly magazines, if you write to them and enclose a self-addressed stamped envelope and say, please send me a copy of your writer's guidelines. As a matter of fact, it's a good idea to do that. That's one of the things you should do before you write your query letter. Write and ask for a copy of their writer's guidelines and enclose a self-addressed stamped envelope. Often they will send you free of charge or for a nominal charge. Again, all this stuff I'm talking about is information you can get out of the writer's market. They'll tell you whether they send it to you for free or if you need to pay them for it.
But you're talking about large publications, aren't you?
If it's a really, I don't know what you mean, as compared to what?
Is a small magazine being developed or written, like from Mendocino or something?
Yeah, any magazine just about will have writer's guidelines.
Really?
Oh yeah, and if they don't, they should. If they don't, they're just asking for trouble themselves. Mm-hmm. They're making trouble for themselves because they're going to get stuff in the mail that is totally inappropriate to their publication. One of the first things that a publication should do, or an editor should do, as soon as they start a new magazine, is develop writer's guidelines. You know, it helps them to know what they want, first of all, and it lets writers know what they do and do not want for their magazine. So any magazine should have at least an informal set of writer's guidelines. Occasionally you run across one that doesn't, and that's their problem. But at any rate, get that so you have a real clear idea of what they're looking for before you start thinking of your idea for your article even. And they're usually very happy to do that, and there's no charge or anything, as long as you close that self-addressed stamped envelope. Okay, SASE. Okay, so you've got your address in here, the editor, and so on, and then you begin like you would any letter, dear. Okay, if it's a male editor, it's Mr., whatever his name is. If it's a female editor, it's Ms. That's standard form today. Okay, it's very helpful, as a matter of fact, even in terms of the old ways things were done, because in the old days, you didn't know if the editor, if it was a woman editor, if she was married or not, you know, and you didn't know whether to put Mrs. or Miss, you know. So now this short circuits that whole problem, and you just use Ms. Okay. Now we get into the body of the letter itself. Okay, the first part of a query letter I call just the introduction. Okay, in the introduction to the query letter, you're going to include the title that you have thought up for your article. Okay, you'll say something like, Dear Mr. Jones, I have an article idea in mind that I think will be appealing to the readers of whatever the name of the magazine is. Okay? A possible title might be colon. And you put down the clever, catchy, perhaps witty, captivating, intriguing, thought-provoking title that you have come up with that's going to really catch the editor's attention right off the bat. Whether they use this title in the long run or not is completely irrelevant. They probably won't, as a matter of fact. Okay? But it's what you're going to catch the editor's attention with. Okay? All kinds of things come into play when it comes to the final title of an article. Space considerations, how they might want to be trying to relate this article to other articles in the magazine, the editor's personal preferences, anything is possible as far as how the title. Some, I've written articles that, that ended up being published with titles that I didn't recognize. You know, I had no idea. How does that relate to what I wrote? You know, usually that's not the case, but every now and then you get a real odd duck of an editor who comes up with very funny title ideas, and you just, there's nothing much you can do about it. You know, that's, they include this in their contract often. If you sign a contract or a letter of agreement with them, it will say that they have the right to change the title to anything they want it to be. So you just live with it. But in terms of your query letter, you want to think of as clever and eye-catching a title as you can. Okay, so the article idea you came up with yesterday, or the one you're going to use in writing your query letter today, be thinking, you know, about possible clever titles. Puns seem to be very popular today in article titles. You know, working a little bit of humor into things, or if it's a story that is not, that has, you know, no really potential for being, for humor at all, then it has to be something that's going to grab people's eye and show them that, you know, this is worth the time that they're going to have to put into reading it. I once wrote an article about a Franciscan brother who is an internationally known vegetarian chef. And he'd written a book about recipes, you know, a whole collection of vegetarian, gourmet vegetarian recipes. And I wrote my article and so forth and sent it off. And the title that the editors came up with was something like, remember, the guy's a Franciscan, okay? Brother Tofu, Sister Soybean. Yeah, something like that, I couldn't exact. But it was, and it was very clever and very appropriate to the article. And it was great. It was one of the best jobs of coming up with an article, a title for an article I had written that an editor has ever done. Very creative. Anyway, that's the kind of thing I'm thinking of. If you have a basically informative kind of article that's not intended to be really terribly entertaining or anything, the title itself can still be entertaining. You know, something like "Learning to Plant Gardens So You Don't Get Dirt on Your Knees," you know, or something like that. Okay. Anyway, you get the drift of what I'm trying to say, I think. Next section. Okay, each of these is a separate paragraph in your letter. Okay. Next paragraph is going to be your lead. Okay, the lead is going to be at least a potential lead for the article itself. Okay, in other words, you're going to let the editor read the first sentence or two, or maybe three, of the article itself. That doesn't mean that in the long run you are going to actually end up using this in your article, but it would be possible that this would be your actual lead in the article itself. Okay? For example, if you're writing a book, an article about, hummingbirds, you could say, you could begin your lead with a quotation from an expert on hummingbirds. That would be very, you know, it would be very eye-grabbing. Perhaps an expert on hummingbirds would say, "Hummingbirds are going to save the world." You know, or hummingbird blood contains the cure for AIDS. You know, or something like that. You know, real eye-catching kind of thing. And if it was a quotation, you'd put it in quotation marks and then say, comma, "according to this professor Baba from such and such university." Okay? But the idea here is to be as interesting as you can and to say something as captivating as you can. If there's any room at all for humor in your article, this would be a good place to use it. Okay? Next paragraph is your central idea. In other words, this is what your article is going to be all about if you had to put it in a nutshell. Okay? Here you've got two or three sentences in which to say, the purpose of this article would be to introduce the reader to this person, whoever it is you're writing the article about, for example. And then You'd say, and you know, the reason that you know, that the reader will find this, or that this article will be of value to both the magazine and its readers, is because nobody else has written about this discovery that hummingbird blood contains the cure for AIDS or whatever. Okay? You have to tell them why this is an important idea. All right. Next section of your letter, your next paragraph, will be what I call the details. Okay? This is how I am going to go about writing this article. I'm going to interview this university professor. I am going to draw on information that I will gather from research at such and such a scientific library, maybe. Or I will interview the subject of this profile by telephone, and if you've already looked into it to the point where you have some understanding that this is going to be okay with this celebrity for you to interview him or her, then you can say, I've already contacted this celebrity, and he or she has expressed a willingness to cooperate with the development of this article. Or any details that would help the editor to know that you've really done your homework and you're ready to do this article. Okay, you're not just kind of hypothesizing. Yes?
I have a question. Back up to the section of the lead. I didn't hear you say anything. In that section, are you saying just immediately throw the lead right there?
Or, exactly.
Or tell them, this is what I propose as a lead?
No, you just start out cold. Just as if you were writing the first paragraph of your article.
Without any preparation.
Right. Because you've already told them what it's about in your title up here.
Yeah.
Okay? So there's no need to do that. They want this to be as concise as possible. The length of the query letter is a page and a half, maximum.
Oh, yeah. I'm just...
So that doesn't go to say that it wouldn't be okay.
So that would be a separate paragraph from the intro.
Right.
And so immediately after you're done introducing,
yeah.
This is the working title for this article, whatever.
Yeah.
Boom. Next paragraph, lead.
Exactly.
Even if it's only one sentence.
Right. Well, in that case, you could write, you could give them the first two or three sentences.
Two or three sentences.
Yeah. Yeah, it would have to be a complete thought, when you get done with that, with your lead. Okay.
And they'll know that that's your lead.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, they'll know that's what you're doing. They get these things all the time.
Okay.
Yeah. They're very familiar with query letters.
And another question on the things you just brought about details.
Mm-hmm.
Since you brought up this about interviewing a famous person.
Right.
Should you even propose an article that you don't know that this person would want to be interviewed?
you ought to have some assurance in your mind that this is at least a possibility.
Yeah.
The thing is, it can be helpful to do either. And what I mean is, if you get the go-ahead, if you tell the editor, I haven't actually contacted this person yet, but I have reason to believe that it'll be no problem, blah, 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 then you can go back to the person, the celebrity you want to interview, and say, hey, this magazine's interested in doing this. They definitely said, yeah, that they want to do it. Then the celebrity is perhaps more likely to say, okay, I'll do it. So it can work both ways.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay?
So sort of couch it in terms like, I have an idea this person might want to,
right.
If you don't know that for sure, maybe.
Right.
As long as you know for sure that they wouldn't want to be interviewed.
Right.
Like J.D. Salinger.
Yeah. So maybe you've talked to the publisher only, and the publisher has said, he'd be willing to do this, or she'd be willing to do this. I don't think it would be a problem. But you haven't actually talked to that person yet yourself.
Okay.
You can say, I've gotten the publisher's assurance that this person will be willing to cooperate, or whatever. But it should be something completely incredible. You know?
Right.
I'm sure President Clinton will have no problem with me coming in sometime next week. Probably they won't believe you. Okay? All right. The details. Details, did I already talk about details?
You started to.
Right. The details of the article are things like how you're going to go about specifically writing this article. Okay, I think I said basically everything there, didn't I? Okay, what you're going to do, how you're going to do it, and how long the article is going to be. You tell them that in this section here. It's going to be, and you've already done your research, so you know that this magazine publishes articles, say, between 600 and 1,500 words. So you don't tell them you're going to write an article 3,000 words long. Maybe they'll cut you off right there. Okay, they want to, the editor's going to want to know that you've done your homework and you're familiar with their publication. Okay?
So you indicate how many words I'm saying?
How many words it's going to be, approximately, yeah. Okay. Next paragraph would deal with the timeliness of this topic or this subject matter that you're going to write about here. That is to say, this is why this is would be a good idea to publish an article about this right now. You know? Age is a big, you know, concern. And here's this guy who's discovered the cure in hummingbird blood, you know. And so it's obviously a great idea for your magazine to publish this article right now. On the other hand, it can also be just as much to your advantage to say, this is an article that could be used anytime, really, because it doesn't have to be published right now. It's a topic that will be of interest for a long time to come. And that can be very appealing to an editor because that means they can plug it in just about any issue they want to. And they don't have to fit it in someplace in particular. So let them know one way or the other, I guess, is what I'm saying here. Okay? Finally, last paragraph, you're going to tell the editor who you are and why he or she should let you write this article. Okay, I have, if you've never published anything before in your life, then you just say so. I'm a beginning writer, and although I've done a lot of writing on my own, I've never had anything published before, but I'm sure that I could do a good job in this article, or something like that. You know, or here's my academic background. You know, here's where I went to school and when I graduated, and this is what my major was. And maybe I majored in English, say. I'm sure that I can write a good article for you here, or whatever, however you want to word that. Okay. Tell them a little bit about your credentials. If you have had something published, include a couple of Xerox copies of clips. You know, of the thing. No matter how obscure or unimportant you may think the things are that you've written before, make a copy of copies of a couple of those. Don't overwhelm them if you've got a huge pile of stuff. Send them two or three short clips of things that you had published before, and that adds to your credibility. That's one of the reasons that it can be a good idea in the beginning to write for publications that don't pay anything. You know, they may just send you copies of the magazine once it's published with your article in it, because it gives you some credentials that you can use when you make article proposals to magazines that do pay something, and that means something to them. In this section, you should also include any special skills that you have that could be of value to the publication. For example, if you're passably good with a camera, tell them, I'm a photographer and I'd be happy to take pictures of this person that I'm interviewing for this article for you. Okay, it saves them a lot of trouble having to try to figure out how to do that themselves. Or say, I'm proficient in this particular area myself because I majored in it when I was in college. Therefore, I'm going to know better what are the right questions to ask this particular person when I'm interviewing him or her. Any special skills or experience in your background that you can bring to the production of this article are going to make it that much more attractive to the editor. Okay? And finally, you conclude with, I look forward to hearing from you about this at your earliest convenience. And I enclose a self-addressed stamped envelope for your reply. Now, sort of a formal standard thing. Okay? You always, always, always enclose a self-addressed stamped envelope when you send a query letter. Otherwise, you're likely to not hear back from them at all. Some magazines get hundreds and hundreds of query letters a week, depending on who you're writing to. Even if they only get a dozen of them a week, still, that's a lot. And if they had to pay the postage for to reply to all of these people who send them query letters, they would soon go broke, probably. So always include self-addressed stamped envelope, okay, when you send your query letter. Any questions so far?
Yes, I wasn't here yesterday, so you might have answered this. Would this all of this also applies to books or stories?
Right. Any, well, stories, it might change a little bit there in terms of writing fiction, you mean? Yeah. An awful lot of publications, magazines that publish short stories just want to see the story. Mm-hmm. You know, you can't do this as well with fiction as you can with nonfiction. It's possible that they would, if you wrote and said, I have a story about blah, 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 would you like to look at it? They would probably write back and say,
sure,
why not?
But it is a different format for a story.
You would have to adapt it.
Okay.
Right. You'd have to adapt this for sure. Okay, and then you simply conclude with sincerely, blah, 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 and sign it and mail it off. And wait. As we talked about yesterday.
And you include all of that irrespective of how long your proposed article might be.
Right. The length of the article has nothing to do with the length of the query letter.
Because the length of that, that's going to be a pretty long letter when you get through it.
This letter is going to be at most a page and a half long, typed single spaced. Typed single spaced, okay? Do not make it any longer than that. If you send an editor a 3 or 4 page query letter, they're not going to want to be bothered. They cannot, they just don't have the time to spend on that kind of thing. If you can possibly keep it to one page, that's even better. Mm-hmm. Editors are getting more and more sticky about this business of the length of query letters. If you can make it one page, that's even better. But absolutely no longer than a page and a half. And really, if you can't tell them about it in a page and a half, then you really don't have it concisely formulated in your own mind yet. Okay, that's one of the value. The query letter is a value to the editor, not only in terms of telling the editor about what you want to do, but the process of putting together the query letter is very helpful for you as a writer in terms of crystallizing and really becoming concise about what you plan to do, what you're going to write about, and how you're going to do it. And it can even become a little plan that you follow. You know, keep a copy of it and when you get your positive response, then you say, okay, here's what I told them I was going to do, now I got to do it. And you've designed a little plan for yourself, and you just follow your own plan that you came up with. Okay, other questions about anything at all?
Yeah, this may be a silly question, but let's say I put this up on my computer, I print it out, you know, on pages that you tear off in between.
Yeah.
Will they notice things like that? Or, I mean, it's not an obvious tear, you know what I'm saying, but it's
right.
A typical computer paper. I mean, is it preferable to just have it specially printed on single paper at a place like Kinko's? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
What do you do?
The ideal, what I do, I have letterhead stationery.
Oh, okay.
And I use I have an inkjet printer, you know, that doesn't use tractor feed. Type paper,
right.
Single sheet paper. But I generally, when I write a query letter, even when I was using a daisy wheel printer and that had tractor feed, you know, used sheet paper in it, I would always use my letterhead. You know, and it was kind of a hassle because you just take the paper out of the printer and you had to put the paper in there and move it up to where you start printing.
Yeah,
and all that
okay.
Yeah, I would. Yeah, any way at all that you can make a favorable impression.
Right.
It's a good idea to do it. Some people, let me just talk a little bit about letterhead. Sometimes new writers will think, well, I have to be kind of cute here about my letterhead, you know? And they'll put a little, you know, they'll go to the to Kinko's or somewhere where they can get clip art, you know, to put in there. And they'll put a little pen up in the corner, or a little pencil, you know? Or a typewriter, picture of a little typewriter, you know, to show that they're a writer. Bad idea. Okay, an editor gets that and says, not a professional. Okay, just the standard advice is, have them put your name, number, fax number if you happen to have one, at the top, centered on the page, in an attractive typeface, and that's it.
Just like any business.
Exactly. But it's just your name. There's no logos, there's no designs, okay? Now that I've said that, however, there's exceptions to every rule, and I'm one of them. I came up years ago with, you remember yesterday I was wearing a sweatshirt with penguins across the front of it? Did anybody notice that? How good are you at observing? Okay, it's a line of penguins, and all the penguins are facing the same direction, except the one on this end, and that penguin is looking the opposite direction from all the other penguins. And it's a drawing by James Thurber. And that's my letterhead. I've got that across the top of my letterhead with my name and address and so on right underneath it, straight across the page. And very often I've had editors remember me because of that. You know, out of all the letters they get, they remember me because of that. Well, I don't know why that worked, and often stuff that people come up with don't. If you're going to do something like that, I think that that drawing years ago attracted my attention because, I don't know, it said, I think it made a basically intelligent but mildly humorous statement about my perspective, you know. The penguin on the end who's looking the other direction has a slightly different perspective from all the other penguins, but nevertheless, he's still not trying to be weird or anything, and he's not trying to, you know, draw attention to himself or be bizarre, you know. And so, I don't know. It doesn't mean you can't come up with something, but if you do, try to make sure it makes a basically intelligent statement and doesn't just make you look ridiculous in the editor's eyes. Your best bet is probably to start out with the plain name and address at the top of the page. Okay, any other questions? I want to give you a few minutes now to write your own query letter. Now, this is not going to be the finished product, obviously. You don't have time to do that right now. Ideally, I would now send you home, and you would spend the next week working on your query letter, and then you would bring it back next week, and we would all sit here and critique each other's query letters. Well, we don't have time to do that, but nevertheless, I'd like you to take a few minutes now, and maybe 10 minutes. 10 minutes I'd do it, maybe a little less. And just write a quick, rough draft of query letter using this outline. For now, you might want to change this later, but for now, go according to this outline, and keep in mind that you have to be concise and keep it to a page or a page and a half at the very most. Okay, any questions? Okay, go to it. Okay, I think we'll need to get back together here so we don't wind up going over time. If you haven't finished, that's fine. We can just deal with whatever you've been able to produce thus far. So, can I ask everybody to regroup, please?
I've got one thing to do about a page long. Beautiful crows.
Okay, why don't we
do it? So and so. I have an idea I would like to.
Okay, well, I'm going to give everybody a chance to read their letter, but let's get back together here first, okay? Why don't we all move over towards the table here?
Okay, so we might be scratching out here. Get on our thick skins.
Okay? All right. Why don't we start? Why don't you go ahead and go first?
Will I go first?
Yeah, and we'll have everybody just listen to what each of us says, and I can critique, but so can everybody else.
Okay. Dear whomever,
okay.
I have an idea I would like to write up and send to you for your consideration. It might be called Crowing Over Our Neighborhood. It is about crows. Why? In my lifespan, crows' activities and locales have grown. I always thought when I was younger that they were primarily rural and agricultural critters. But in later years, I have been aware, it seems, of seeing more of them in metropolitan areas, soaring and cawing in open areas, but with nearby trees where they could roost. So the thought has arisen, is their value to us today? Nuisance value as well as beneficial value. It should take about 3 double space pages.
Okay. It's good.
I would comment on the on their contribution to the ornithological chorus as compared with other birds, and to their size, color, and beauty, or lack of it.
Okay.
And then I would just have this concluding paragraph.
Yeah. Okay, great. The only thing I would suggest is figure out how many words your typewriter puts on a page, and then figure out the number of words rather than telling them the number of pages.
Yes. I've actually written this in the newspaper back east.
Great.
But I thought I could just maybe rewrite it.
Oh, you bet.
Maybe lengthen it a little bit if necessary. Yeah.
Great idea.
But I even mentioned that their cars are no comparison. They don't contribute anything to the ornithological chorus, like the mockingbirds or the cardinals or the wrens or other music,
Okay.
songbirds.
All right. Great. Good. Great start. Okay.
I didn't get into this too much.
That's fine.
This article, I think, would go to like a woman's magazine or a seed or agriculture sort of type of magazine.
Okay.
I said, Dear Mrs. Nelson, the article, the title of the article I've written is called The Fertile Pit. It is about an avocado seed. Have you ever poked toothpicks into the size of an avocado pit trying to make it grow? This article would tell about an avocado project that was very successful, too productive, and disastrous circumstances. The purpose of the article would be to show people how to start an avocado project and the ideal place to plant the seedling. This would be an article that can be used any time, especially during the avocado season.
Okay.
And I didn't go into what I would do.
Yeah. Great. Great. It looks, sounds great. Anybody, please jump in if you have any other comments or observations.
Well, it's certainly Sunset and Better Homes and Gardens.
Yeah,
those kinds of articles.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, I didn't really get too far, but mine would be for a special ed magazine or an exceptional child magazine. And I said, Dear Miss Jones, I have written an article on about a class of severely handicapped students mainstreaming for the first time on a regular campus titled, We're All Growing. I taught a class that's been successful in mainstreaming, and I'm about to embark on another class situation where we're on a campus where we're unwelcome. I call it the high rent district for the first time. And I think the positive experiences I've had and others have had can help me. And I believe that if this article is published, it could be helpful to other teachers who find themselves in a situation where they're going to be entering a campus where they've gotten clues that they're not welcome.
Okay.
So this is a little different in that ordinarily you are welcome.
Yeah.
But it in this day and time, I think the time has come and gone for all students to be welcomed on any campus. And it's not really here yet entirely. So let's see what else. And I think this would be about 3 pages, and I don't know how many words that is.
Yeah.
And the time is now. Let's see, what else? I've written a lot of articles, but I've never had one published, but I feel like I've learned a lot from my experiences as a teacher.
Great.
Let's see, what else? This article is in the process of being done right now, so it wouldn't be done. I would like to publish this at the beginning of 1994 and have conclusions drawn about what our experiences have been.
Great. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Any other observations there? Sounds good to me.
Sorry.
I'll take it.
Okay. Dear Mr. Editor or Ms. Editor, I have an idea for an article for your magazine. The working title is
go ahead, honey, throw out my baseball cards.
Okay.
That's good.
My wife threw out my baseball cards yesterday. I didn't scream. I didn't snort when I came home from work. I didn't chase the truck down the street. I didn't rush to the dump and try and find the cards. Instead, I kissed her and asked about dinner. This article had its purpose to examine the phenomenon of baby boomers and other kids losing interest in baseball card collecting and how this has happened. I would write, I had some more stuff there, but I was going to cross it out. And I explained how I'd write the article, and the timeliness of the article is striking. All of America collectors don't care if their moms or wives throw out their baseball cards because of several reasons. And special skills, other than the fact that I have a lot of cards that my wife is waiting to throw out, probably 50,000 of them, I've been collecting cards since 1983, et cetera, et cetera.
Okay, yeah, sounds real good. Really good. Okay.
You know, making it up as I went along, I want to propose an idea for an article that I would write that might be called. I have no idea what it would be called.
Okay.
It has been said that Sunday morning is the most segregated hour in America. But if you were to wander into St. Philip's Episcopal Church in San Jose on a Sunday, you would find sweetgrass incense rising from an abalone shell held by a Lakota Sioux, exuberant songs in Spanish led by a Guatemalan priest playing a tortoiseshell drum, or even a bagpiper playing Amazing Grace, as blacks, whites, Asians, Native Americans, and Hispanics seek to bridge the barriers that separate the diverse cultures of today's American communities. St. Philip's efforts in dealing with racial and cultural diversity are not confined to worship. The community is one model of how neighbors in one of the U.S.'s most ethnically diverse cities are able to live together in a radically new society. And I would expand on that. You know, my credentials are that I am a part of this community. And the interest, I think, is that as the demographics are shifting, communities are having to deal with cultural diversity, and they need some examples of how people have worked with that. And what I would deal with in this are the successes and failures that the community has experienced, not just in worship, but in daily life and community involvements.
Great. Sounds super. Very much.
I think we should finish with that. I really haven't gotten anywhere. So all I have said is, dear Mr. Editor, I have an article in mind that would be of interest to homemakers, professional seamstresses, home economics teachers, and halfway house facilitators, with a possible title of Sewing with a Message. And then sort of a lead statement, with the economic conditions such as they are, this is a time to get back to basics and have a survival skill. And then go on with the central idea of working with teenagers, particularly, who need supportiveness now in this transitional time and the dilemmas of their lives. And then go on with how I would interview some of the youth with whom the Washington State University Extension Service has been dealing with in varied situations, and then also with my own experience at the Northern Tier Children's Home in Pennsylvania,
okay.
Harrison Valley, Pennsylvania.
Great. The only suggestion I'd make on that one is the part about who the article is going to be of interest to should not be in your intro. That'll be a bit down here in the timeliness section. Okay, who's going to find your article of interest is down here, or maybe in the details section, but not right off the bat up here. Okay, hit them with your title as quick as possible up there.
Okay, with the title, and then later give, okay, so yeah. Bring that down to,
okay.
And then, of course, give my background.
Right, right. Okay, well, these are all great. I haven't heard a dud in the lot here. They're all great. They really are.
Well, and, no, but it's true. You read articles like all of these all
sure,
the time.
Sure, you bet.
You do.
And you might as well write them with somebody else, you know? So the key is going to be pinpointing the right publication.
Right.
To address your proposal to. Be sure you pick the right magazine or newspaper. It can make all the difference in the world. I mean, it does, indeed. Okay, any questions about anything at all? We're not going to be having class tomorrow. Tomorrow's a day off. But we do meet again on Friday. I forget what time of day.
Friday.